Good morning and welcome to St. Luke's. Thank you for gathering with us today to make Eucharist. Blessed be the God of our salvation. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you know that we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. Keep us both outwardly in our bodies and inwardly in our souls, that we may be defended from all adversities which may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts which may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The word of the Lord.
Amen.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters, as some of them did. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us on whom the ends of the ages have come. So, if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. The word of the Lord.
Let us attend to the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" The gardener replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the Sunday sermons this Lenten season, we're taking a closer look at the responsorial psalms. The two psalms we've looked at thus far in the season are often called psalms of trust. They reflect on the nature of the psalmists and our relationship with God. We've seen that the relationship is one of trust, of opening our hearts to God, of not hiding our frustrations, our anxieties, our emotional and spiritual struggles, our desires, our expectations. It's also a relationship characterized by a longing for closer communion with God. As was illustrated last week when we heard the psalmist say, "One thing I ask of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple." Father Randall told us that the psalmist was not wanting to live in the temple. I used to think it would be pretty cool to live in a church when I was a little girl, but that's not the point. The point was the psalmist is looking for a closer communion with God, yearning for that closer communion. The psalm appointed for today is Psalm 63. Some of the verses of this psalm make it a little difficult to categorize. But luckily for me, we're not reading those verses today, so we can categorize this as also a psalm of trust. If I had to describe the psalm in one sentence, I would say that it's a psalm of desire for God that shows the psalmist acting with confidence and trust that God will satisfy that desire. It begins with the same expression of longing that we saw in last week's psalm. The psalmist says, "O God, you are my God. Eagerly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a barren and dry land where there is no water." A later scribe wrote a heading for this psalm that appears in many Bibles and identifies the psalm as a psalm of David while he was in the wilderness of Judea, a time thought to refer to when David, as a young man who had just been anointed the next king of Israel, was running for his life from the current king, King Saul. Or, when he was a bit older, David was again running for his life from a military coup led by his son, Absalom. Perhaps taking their cue from this heading, scholars believe the psalm may have been written when the psalmist was far away from the holy place. On the run, the psalmist was yearning to be back there, was remembering his sense of closeness with God, the encounter of God that he experienced at the holy place, wanting again to be there, to praise and to bless God. I don't think that the physical location of the psalmist is really that important. It's not the thing that I want to focus on that tells us something about our relationship with God. What tells us something about our relationship with God is the fact that the psalmist has a longing, desiring heart. And what the psalmist does in response to that longing, and the fact that God satisfies that longing. The psalmist's longing for God is deep, desperate, and seemingly unquenchable. It's a longing that Scripture and tradition suggest comes from God. It's a longing that many of us have experienced. The author of the first letter of John wrote, "We love because he first loved us." Some ancient manuscripts try to clarify that by adding the word God so that the verse becomes, "We love God because God first loved us." Augustine reflected the same sentiment when he wrote, "Thou hast formed us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in thee." This is the longing that the psalmist was experiencing, and I think the psalmist would be comfortable with the idea that this desire was placed in his heart by God. We read elsewhere in the Psalms a description by the psalmist of God's intimate knowledge of him, how God has known him, searched him, formed his inward parts, knit him together in his mother's womb, knows when he sits down, when he gets up, even knows what he thinks. I don't think the psalmist is imagining some creepy stalker God, but a God who knows us like parents or grandparents who gaze lovingly at a newborn child or grandchild, taking in the shape of the baby's ears and nose, the tiny fingers, the tiny toes, practically memorizing every detail, imagining what that baby will be like when he or she grows up. That's the kind of knowledge the psalmist is suggesting. Thus, I think the psalmist understood that he and we existed in the heart of God long before we were born, long before our parents admired us, long before our friends acknowledged our gifts, or our teachers, colleagues, and employers encouraged us. We were already chosen by God, already called, already beloved, already invited into a closer relationship. So we can think of the desire for God to which the psalmist gives expression as the cry of a heart seeking its rest in God, the cry of the beloved. So how does the psalmist respond? "Therefore I have gazed upon you in your holy place, that I might behold your power and your glory." Because the psalmist yearned for God, the psalmist sought fulfillment of that desire in the holy place, the sanctuary, the place of communal worship. To look upon God in the sanctuary doesn't mean to see God physically. The Israelites didn't believe that God actually lived in the sanctuary like I live in a house in Galesburg. But to look upon God meant to encounter God, to experience God. The psalmist's longing for God compelled him to satisfy this desire by seeking God in the place of public worship, confident that he would encounter God there. We do the same thing. To be sure, we experience God in many places, in nature, in music, in art, in relationships. I've heard some of you say that you experience God in your grandchildren's love, joy, and wonder. But sometimes our longing for communion with God brings us here, to this place. Just as the psalmist encountered God in the holy place, perhaps as he gazed on the Ark of the Covenant, so too we encounter God here as we gaze on symbols, hear sounds, and perform acts in this place. In the cross, the gospel book, and the candles, we encounter the redemptive love of Christ, the Word of God, and the light of the world. We experience God in words heard, spoken, and sung, in the call and response pattern of the liturgy that reflects God's invitation and our reply. We pray for the needs of the community and of the world. One of the great joys of knowing that we are beloved is discovering that others are beloved as well. In God's economy, everyone is beloved, without exception, without exclusion. So it is for everyone that we pray. And we respond to the invitation of Jesus by coming forward to share in the body and blood of Christ, and thus to become one with and in Christ. Things look a little different here during Lent than they do during other liturgical seasons. We've covered the cross on the high altar with purple cloth, taken down the candles, exchanged our usual processional cross and ornate gospel book for a simpler cross and a leather-bound gospel book. And instead of the colorful flowers that usually fill our worship space, the arrangements that we see, although lovely, look fragile, dry, and brittle. By their very simplicity, these symbols focus our attention on them and remind us of the wilderness and of our longing for God. Dwelling in the Lenten wilderness provides the opportunity for us to experience that longing, to sit with that longing, to meditate on being the beloved, and to trust in the steadfast love of God, that God will satisfy that longing. But the psalmist does more. The psalmist continues in verse 5, "My soul is content as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the night watches." Just as the psalmist finds satisfaction for his longing in the public place of worship, he also finds satisfaction in private worship, in private devotions. But the private devotions he suggests by the structure of the psalm are linked to communal worship. Just as the realization that God's steadfast love was better than life brought forth praises from the psalmist's lips in the place of communal worship, so also his private meditations satisfy his soul and bring forth praises from joyful lips. Lent is a time when many of us adopt specific private practices. We give up something like chocolate, alcohol, TV, blowing our car horns at drivers who irritate us, hypothetically speaking. Or we add something, such as coming to the Stations of the Cross on Fridays, maybe doing a volunteer activity, perhaps making a conscious effort to understand that person at work who usually we steer clear of because he or she just rubs us the wrong way. Again, hypothetically. Or we do an old practice with new attentiveness. There's a story of a student who went to the rabbi with great pride and excitement and said, "Teacher, I've gone through the entire Torah." And the teacher responded, "Ah, but has the Torah gone through you?" Maybe Lent is a time that we decide to recommit to an attentive reading of scripture or a passage from a favorite devotional, and to read it in a way not just to check it off of our list, but to make sure that the reading goes through us. Whatever the reason, whatever the practice, the practices that we observe in private as part of this liturgical season that we celebrate here on Sundays can deepen our recognition of our true identity as the beloved. They can provide a rich feast that brings forth praise from our joyful lips. Finally, the psalmist acknowledges the blessings of God and the joy he has in communion with God when he says in verse 7, "For you have been my helper, and under the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul clings to you. Your right hand holds me fast." The psalmist recognizes with gratitude that God has fulfilled that longing. And gratitude is the most fruitful way of deepening our consciousness that each of us is a divine choice. The longing heart sees reasons for gratitude everywhere. So in this psalm, the psalmist began his reflection with a sense of desperate longing. And through his experience of God in the place of public worship and in private devotion, he's able to end the psalm in the shadow of God's wing, singing for joy. And God is at work at every stage, initially putting that longing in our heart, creating the community where that longing can be satisfied, and then in fact satisfying that longing. As we journey through this Lenten season, may our longing for God, or even our wish that we could long for God. Open the eyes of our hearts and minds to the truth that each of us is a beloved child of God, known and chosen from before our birth and ever held in God's loving embrace. Like the psalmist, may we seek those places and practices, communal and private, that satisfy our heart's longing, remind us of our true identity, and help us acknowledge and respond to the belovedness of others. And may we learn to trust the God who has called us into relationship and to celebrate and deepen our communion with God through the conscious practice of gratitude. Amen.
As you are able, please stand and join me in proclaiming our faith, which spans the earth and covers the ages, by reciting the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit, the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified by Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Shepherd us, O God, beyond our wants, beyond our fears, from death unto life.
Holy One, your steadfast love surrounds us. You watch over us, care for us, and gently lead us through temptation to life-giving paths.
We praise you and give thanks for all the ways we have felt your love and protection this week, remembering especially those celebrating birthdays, Rosemary, Kaylee, Chris, Richard, Randy, John, Dorothy, Anne-Marie, Charles, Ken, James. Those celebrating wedding anniversaries, Patricia and John, and those celebrating baptismal anniversaries, Judy, Robert, Mona, Katie.
We call to you, most able sustainer of all.
O God, our source of comfort and hope, you call us to prayer and assist our supplication.
We turn to you for those who are sick, suffering, or addicted, especially Lydia, Sophia, Tom, Wally, Pam, Marilyn, Bill, Tom.
Guardian, preserver, and restorer, we cry to you.
Eternal One, you are ever present to us and ever responsive to our cries. though we often fear you will forget us.
We turn to you for those who have died. Remember especially Richard, Janet, Cameron, those who died in New Zealand, as well as all who mourn.
Fashioner of forms, who raises the dead, we implore you.
Forthright God, you call us to peace, mercy, and justice.
We pray for peace advocates, social workers, and philanthropists. We pray for those who serve in our armed forces, Courtney, Joe, Kristen, Nathan, Sarah, Andrew, and Stephen. We pray for Michael, our presiding bishop, Wayne, our bishop, Randall, our priest, Greg, our deacon, Michael and Frankie in formation for holy orders, and all people in their vocations and ministries. We pray for leaders and all in authority, especially Donald, our president, and Gretchen, our governor.
Correcting, guiding, and forgiving one, we pray to you. Creating God, you declare your glory and show forth your handiwork in the heavens and in the earth. Deliver us in our various occupations from the service of self alone, that we may do the work you give us to do in truth and beauty and for the common good. For the sake of him who came among us as one who serves, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Blessed, let us confess our sins against God, our neighbors, and ourselves. Most merciful God, we confess.
Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through the grace of Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Our Lord Jesus Christ stretched out his arms of love on the hard wood of the cross that everyone might come within reach of his saving embrace. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Worship and praise belong to you, maker of light and darkness. Your wisdom draws beauty from chaos, brings a harvest out of sorrow, and leads the exiles home. In Christ your Son, enemies are reconciled, debts forgiven, and strangers made welcome. Your Spirit frees us to live as daughters and sons in our Father's house. We who by Christ's power follow the way of the cross, sharing the joy of his obedience, now offer you our praise with angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending glory. Thanksgiving be to you, most loving Father, for Christ, in whom the world is reconciled, lifted on the cross, His suffering and forgiveness spanned the gulf our sins had made. Through that self-giving act, death was swallowed up in victory, and life, that life and joy might reign. Before he was given up to suffering and death, recalling the night of Israel's release, the night in which the sons of Egypt died, your chosen one, himself the firstborn, freely offered his life. At supper with his disciples, our Savior Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now the suffering and death, and proclaiming the resurrection and ascension of Jesus our Redeemer, we bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of Christ. Grant that we may be kindled with the fire of your love and renewed for the service of your reign. Help us who are baptized into the fellowship of Christ's body to live and work to your praise and glory. May we grow together in unity and love until at last in your new creation we enter into our heritage in the company of Blessed Mary, the God-bearer, the apostles and prophets, and all of our brothers and sisters, living and departed. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. On you stay, quitolis peccata mundi, misere. Gifts of God for the people of God.
Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Christ, the bread of heaven.
Craig, Chris, and David, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread and one cup. Amen.
Let us pray.
Almighty and ever-living
God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated.
Laura, would you come over here, please?
Here, here.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. Most of you know Laura Mercadal, and I've asked Laura to come up here. Laura stepped in this fall to make sure that children's formation kept happening. She's gone above and beyond, done a really great job, and has given this church such a big gift of time and energy and attention. And so this is Laura's last day filling in for us in that way, and I want us all to give her a big thank you. Thank you so much. Cannot tell you how grateful we all are for the work that you've done. Thank you. All right, now, Allie, come on up. I'm very, very excited to tell you. You all know Allie Myers, and Allie is coming back to be our interim formation minister. She is going to help us finish out the year. Allie is going to help us get ready for our new formation minister, Dabs, and prepare us to make the most good use of a big transition. And I am incredibly grateful and excited that you're going to be here. And so let's welcome Allie back. Thank you so much. Dabs. So it is my great pleasure and delight to introduce to you Dabs McGregor Woodfin, who is going to be our new formation minister. And Dabs is currently an assistant campus minister at Texas A&M University. So he has to finish out the program year, or they would hurt me. And so Dabs will be joining us this summer. And would you like to introduce Lisby, please?
This is Lisby Collins-Wildman, my girlfriend and reason for moving up here. She is a third-year PhD student at the University of Michigan studying.
So welcome to Dabs and Lisby. Dabs comes to us with lots of experience working with children, youth, and young adults. We're very excited that he's going to be joining us this summer, and we can't wait for that time to get here. And he and Allie will be in conversation, and will work to negotiate this transition in ways that only builds and strengthens our formation program. So thank you, Dabs. We're really glad that you'll be joining us. Okay, Carol, stand up. Amy, where's Amy? I know Amy's here somewhere. Amy?
She was just taking pictures.
And John, stand up. And Beth, is Beth here? Beth? And Gary, is Gary here? Gary's not here. Gary's traveling. These folks were the formation search team. They did a really great job. And I couldn't have done it without them, and they were excellent and helped us develop our plan, our goals, our vision, and helped us interview, and their great work made all of this possible. So special thanks to all of them. So lots of exciting stuff, and I'm very excited about all of this. So I'm really thrilled with how all of this has worked out. You know, things never work out quite the way we plan. What's the old joke about we make plans and God laughs? But I have learned to trust the process, and God makes happen what God wants to have happen, and I'm very excited about all of it. So this is all really, really good stuff. So join us in the dining hall for refreshments and continuing our conversations on the way of love. This week's topic is rest. So do please join us. Those conversations have been great, and you don't have to have been to previous ones to participate. So if you haven't been able to attend, don't let that make you shy about coming today. Do please join us. Children's Choir rehearses today at 2. Special thank you to Frankie for being our preacher today. Stations of the Cross on Fridays at noon in the chapel. This is not your familiar Stations of the Cross. This is using texts from the Book of Wisdom, and it's very engaging, very thought-provoking. We've been having a great time on Fridays engaging in this walking meditation that is Stations of the Cross. I invite you and encourage you to join us on Fridays. Please put April 6th in your calendar. That's our spring cleanup. It's from 8:30 to 11:30, and this is part of how St. Francis Guild keeps our grounds so beautiful, and if you all could show up and we can help them in that big project, ongoing project every year, that would be great. The more people, the easier the work is. So April 6th, 8:30 to 11:30. The Altar Guild is putting envelopes out in the pews for donations for our Easter flowers. You all remember how beautiful the Altar Guild makes things at Easter. You can donate to help pay for those flowers, and you can have that be in honor of someone or a memorial for someone. If you want that in the Easter bulletin, though, you need to get your donations in by Sunday, April 14th. So please be thinking about a donation, a gift for Easter flowers. Look for the envelopes in your pew. Also, don't forget our diaper bank is selling T-shirts. You know, our diaper bank helps over 300 families a month. It's just an amazing amount of work they do and an amazing amount of diapers that we give away. And what's really exciting to me about it is the number of groups in the city who call us and say, we collected diapers for you, and we're going to show up and drop off, 10,000 diapers. Or, I mean, it's just incredible the enthusiasm that this draws. So our diaper bank is selling T-shirts to advertise the diaper bank to raise funds for that ministry. 100% of the profits go to buying diapers and to helping other families. There are sign-up sheets in the community room. Get signed up by March 31st, that's next Sunday, to get your T-shirt and support our diaper bank. We also need some board members for the diaper bank. If you're interested, speak to Donna about that. So lots of exciting stuff going on. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your generosity of time and talent and your treasures. It's greatly appreciated.
As you are able, please stand. Bow down before our God.
Keep this your family, Lord, with your never-failing mercy, that relying solely on the help of your heavenly grace, they may be upheld by your divine protection through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.